to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that hole beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. To be glorious, Lord, I do declare. God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at the meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. Praise the Lord. What a time we're fixing to have, church. We're having a good time on the way to getting there. When we all get together on the other side. Greg, you just think you can sing good now. You wait till you get over yonder. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a time, Brother Terry, aren't we? Amen. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Alray from South Africa wants us to remember Sister Marty in prayer. She is dehydrating and the doctors don't know why. She is in serious condition. So we certainly want to pray for that need. The Lord knows no distance in miles. God over there is God over here. He's God everywhere, isn't he? We believe he can answer prayer. We certainly do. Brother Keith Phillips wants to offer this testimony. I want to thank the Lord. I am sleeping better. He cares about seemingly little things. Thanks also to the saints who believe with me in prayer. So, Brother Keith, God bless you and thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Please pray for Brother Tracy that God will strengthen him in body and spirit. He is losing blood and he's weak, so we certainly want to pray for Brother Tracy that the Lord would be mindful of our brother. Brother Gary and Sister Lona Harris sends this in. Our daughter Kelly in Florida called with a prayer request from a 64-year-old lady who is on a ventilator. She's growing weaker every day. Kelly told her about our church and the prayers of believers everywhere. The lady told her that if God will honor the prayer of a person who has the faith the size of a mustard seed, she knows he will hear the prayers of his children and she will be healed. So they're counting on us to get a prayer through. I believe God's more than able to meet that need tonight. Also want to pray for the salvation of her soul, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Also, Brother Gary always also sends this in to please remember our great-granddaughter Chloe in prayer. She was diagnosed with autism this week at Vanderbilt. Also remember her parents in prayer. This is very difficult for them, so we just commit those needs unto our Lord tonight. Brother Palmer wants us to remember his mother, Sister Pauline Palmer. She is not feeling well, so let's pray for that need tonight. Brother Tony Wheaton sends this in. A little while back, I asked you to pray for my wife's brother, who is going to have a tumor removed from his brain. I am so glad to let you all know that he is home from the hospital now and is doing well, except now he has an ear infection. The doctor said they couldn't remove all the tumor because of where it was located, but the little that's remaining is nothing to be concerned about. Thank you for your prayers, and God bless. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Alan Ray Roberts sends this in. I was told by my doctor's office today that I do not have cancer. God answers prayer. Thank you for your prayers. I enjoy streaming your services so much. And he says, I certainly do wish Brother Donnie would get excited a little bit once in a while. Praying for God's continued blessings on all of you. So may God bless our brother tonight. I want to remember Brother Daniel and Sister Linda Nunley for safety as they travel to Pennsylvania for a funeral. So let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Linda Crest says to please pray for her brother-in-law, Mike Pierce. The dialysis is making him extremely weak. He has dialysis 3 times a week. Pray that God will give him strength. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. As we pray, and little Ellie Parker, most of you know she is a sick little girl right now. Brother Donnie's going to be addressing it when he comes out just in a few minutes. But we certainly want to pray for little Ellie Parker tonight. Remember her in prayer, the Parker family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them during this sickness that she's going through. And may God just grant the doctor's wisdom to locate exactly what needs to be done. We believe God's able to do that, don't we? Certainly we do. Let me make a couple of announcements while we're got you seated tonight. There will be a trustee meeting in the nursery tonight. So remember that, a trustee meeting in the nursery. We need for everyone who has not come to the library to give us the time that you want to schedule to donate blood to please do so as soon as possible. The date is July the 16th. From 2 until 7 p.m. So if you haven't done that, if you signed up, now you're only halfway there. You got to go ahead and sign up the time that you'll be there and make this thing happen for the American Red Cross. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Do you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? Do you believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of your troubles and all of your problems? I believe it with all my heart, don't you? Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you're Brother Joel Brown, while you're walking this way, just come on up here, brother, and lead us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service tonight and ask Him to have His divine will on all these requests. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Papa, we love you and we thank you for simply life itself. And that's a powerful thing to say in this age, because so many people are taking life and they're motivated by things that are so complacent, things that are so temporal. But Lord, life, I recognize life, and these people here as well do recognize life as coming from you. So the life that I live is your life. And everything that I have that's good, everything that I have that's commendable is yours. So Lord, tonight we don't stand here pretentiously, Lord, and speak and say these things. Father, it's who we are. It's what we do. It's who we're becoming. It's what we try to hold up above all the pressures of life. Even when we get down so low, even when we fall, when we stumble, we still have that life within us that allows us to get back up, that allows us to have the purpose that David had, the heart that David had, and quickly repent of those things that we do. We thank you for those things, O God. And with that, we want you to know that we welcome life into this service tonight. So therefore, Lord, we welcome you into this place. And may everything that's said and done bring you glory. May we set aside the things of the day that's caused us grief, that's caused us pain, that's caused us pause, that's caused us to stand with our mouths agape. wondering what in the world is going to happen next. Lord, can I take anything more? But oh God, we know that we've come here to this place to be plugged in, as it were, to be rejuvenated, to be electrified, to be stimulated. And Lord, I'm not looking to a man to do that very thing. Sure, I can be inspired by the things that a man will say. But unless, as the prophet has told us, that we must be inspired by the word of God that will bring you to this word and then make it do and say and act in the way that it's already acted. So Lord, inspire us, inspire Brother Louis, inspire the striking of the keys, the strumming of the strings, Lord, the tapping of the drums, the clapping of the hands, Lord, the patting of the feet, Lord, every word that's spoken, Lord, the utterances of the tongue, O God, may they be anointed and inspired of you. Each and every request that's gone forth by lips of a man, Lord, that's fallen upon ears of clay, Father, and it will rest within the heart of a man, Lord, may you inspire us even to pray for those individuals that need deliverance. Pray for those individuals that are sick, that need healing. And Lord, no doubt there's some sitting here tonight that didn't want to make it, but they came. They pressed their way through. Many are sitting over in the fellowship hall because of maladies and things within their bodies, Lord, frailties of old age. But Lord, may you come and quicken each and every life that's here tonight. Every temple of clay, oh God, we come and we place it back upon the potter's wheel. And Lord, we say we would ask that you would put the water upon us and make us pliable, make us mendable, oh God, make us into something that you want for us to have for this service tonight. May every person get out of the way, O God. We are to be united, unified around this word. And may we be assimilated. May we come to the unity and the clarity that you want for this service. The things that the man of God has studied for and has pondered upon. O God, may we receive it and may we bring life to it, O God. We love you and we thank you for everything. We thank you simply also for the space that we have in this place, in this building tonight. Now may you come, the King of all kings, the preacher of all preachers, the Lord of all lords, the singer of all singers, the glorifier of all glorifiers, the musician of all musicians. May you come and rest in this place. Have your freedom, have your liberty, and may you be welcome. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. God bless you as you give tonight in the offering. I want to welcome all of our visitors tonight to the service. If you're visiting, God bless you. All those that are streaming tonight, may God bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. Who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Let's sing it with all of our heart. When I think of how he came so far from glory, he came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On that Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Oh, who am I that? Oh, sing it to him, church. Yes, who am I? Will thy cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of these words, I'll leave you never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever and forever. God is good all the time. Yes, God is good all the time. I'm going to have a couple of specials for you tonight. I know you're looking forward to hearing them, and we'll go right on into the service. Are you glad to be in the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. Say He's good all the time. Oh, I love Him, don't you? He's the best thing that ever got a hold of our life. Amen. You'll never be the same once He touches you, neither. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord, tell him you're glad to see him in church tonight. What a privilege it is to be in church tonight. Yes, God is good. I know He is. God is good. Yes, He is. Hey, Brother Samuel. Love you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Ask Brother Lynn, you'll sing this song for us again tonight. And he sang it, he said the last time that he sung, but I kind of like stories with happy endings, don't you? And this song's got a good story and a good happy ending. So let's enjoy him as he sings. Give him a nice hand tonight as he sings for you.
Once upon a time, let's go. Let's do it again. I go, once upon a time, ta-da. Ready? Once upon a time, I was a sinner. Satan had turned me into a raging beast. Oh, but Calvary turned me into a Christian. As I was kissed by the Prince of Peace, and we'll live happy ever after. In a place where he's gone to build for me. Soon he'll come and take me in a rapture. And we'll all live happy. Came to pass, I was captured by denomination, tied down by the ropes of what their leaders have said. Then Jesus came on his white horse of deliverance. We went riding on in the sunset. Oh, and we'll live happy ever after. In a place where he's gone to build for me. Soon he'll come and take me in a rapture. And we'll all live happy ever after. And it came to pass, I was captured by denomination. Tied down by the ropes of what their leaders said. Oh, but Jesus came on his white horse of deliverance. And we went riding on in the sunset. And we'll live happy ever after. In a place where he's gone to build for me. Soon he'll come and take me in a rapture. Yes, we're laughter.
Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Did you enjoy that? Brother Harry had a request to sing a song tonight. He's not ready to sing that, but he's always ready to sing this. And we're all going to help him as you stand with me tonight. As Brother Donnie gets ready to come, the dove leads the lamb, buddy. How many of you like to hear him sing it? Give him a nice hand as he sings tonight.
Well, I do like inspired songs about the message, don't you?
Amen.
It was a long time ago when I first got in the message that the Lord gave me this song. I'm glad I still believe it.
Amen.
The Spirit and the Bride were saying, come. The elect are feeling stirred inside their hearts.
Sing it like you believe it, buddy.
Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore.
Glory!
Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's sharing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again. To her.
Oh, yes, it is.
She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not her own.
Oh, yes, sir.
She's just before His throne.
Hallelujah.
Where she'll reign with her Lord forevermore. Of her King.
Oh, hallelujah!
The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again.
Oh, the dove leads the lamb once again.
Praise the Lord. How wonderful. Aren't you glad to be in church tonight?
Yes, sir.
I feel sorry for folks that don't have a good church to go to. I feel more sorry for folks that have a good church to go to and don't go. I'm just glad we want to go and got a good church to go to by God's grace. Amen. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4 tonight, if you would. 1 John chapter 4. While I'm turning, and you're turning there with me, we want to continue to pray for Brother Bill, that the Lord will just help him. He's doing better as far as being able to get up and walk on his walker. And after 16 days this week, he was able to walk, so we're thankful for that. But he still hasn't been able to pass a swallowing test, so he's certainly needing the Lord's help in that way. And I'm sure many of you have heard that Eliana, one of Erica's little girls, got sick yesterday and they had to take her to the ER. And then her doctor wanted to transfer her down to Vanderbilt in Nashville. And they're still there tonight. Saw several neurologists, and it was her kidney doctor that recommended that she go there. And a kidney doctor came in sometime this afternoon to see her. And thinks that they might have found something that possibly the other doctors have overlooked, which might be a key. So that's what we're praying for anyway.
Amen.
Amen. So you just keep remembering them in prayer. the doctor also thinks that it could be part of Erica's problem as well. So wouldn't that be something? The devil just tries to do something and God said, I think I'll turn this trial into a blessing. Amen. One of the things I'm learning myself is when bad things happen, don't get all tore up about it. Try to be calm. Try not to be afraid. I know it's hard for us as humans because it's instilled in us. But we're learning, aren't we?
Yes.
1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. Everybody believe that part?
Yes,
now watch how he goes into the next phrase of this, though. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. What has that got to do with seeing God? Nobody's seen God. Okay, I mean, you was talking about, you ever seen God? No, I ain't never seen God. You ever seen God? No, I ain't never seen God. But if we love one another, God dwells in us. You'd look at me and say, oh man. Unless, of course, there was something in there that had to do with seeing God.
Amen.
No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. And notice in verse 12 he said, his love is perfected in us. And here he says, our love is made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I'd like to use for a thought tonight those last few words of verse 12. Let's look at it again. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And our thought is this. His love is perfected in us. Let's bow our heads together. You like to be remembered tonight before the Lord in prayer. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We're thankful for the opportunity, Lord Jesus, that we can come together in this place. We are grateful that we have a desire, Lord, to assemble ourselves. And then we're grateful that we have a place where we can assemble. We're thankful thus far that in our nation that we can still do that. We don't know how much longer that'll be given to us, but we want to take advantage of the opportunity, Lord, and we want you to know that we are grateful for it. Heavenly Father, we've come tonight and we've had prayer requests, we've offered prayers, we've had special singing, congregational singing. Lord, we've done thus far the things in order, best our ability. Now we come to the part of the breaking of the bread. Lord, we certainly need you, oh God, in this part of the service as we do in every part. I pray that you'd help me, that I can move aside, Lord. I bring these needs to you tonight of the people. Heavenly Father, these requests that was made known by the raising of their hands, we pray that you'd be able to minister to every heart according to your abundant grace. Granted, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. His love perfected in us. These words are kind of tricky because it would seem as if though to one who didn't know that God's love was by degrees. And yet we know God doesn't actually love his elect by degrees. But the way that John writes it, he says that no man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let us look also in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now I wonder today the evidence that we have for what we believe to be a believer, for the evidence that many message people accept as the Holy Ghost and that God lives in them and in other people. Well, is it scriptural? Now, for many, they think, well, because you believe this doctrine, that doctrine, 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 that means you've got the Holy Ghost, and yet they can be as mean as a snake. Just as mean and as ill-tempered as they can be, but because they believe this and this and this and this, they're all right. But would you meet up to New Testament requirements of having the Holy Ghost? Now remember, Brother Branham did not come to take us away from this, but to lead us back to this. So when we try to substitute or try to make something sound different than this, we're doing exactly the opposite of what God's prophet taught us to do. Now notice what John said, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we, notice now, hereby know we that we are in him. Now will we believe the right doctrine? We will. Will we dress right? We will. Will we have the right appearance? Yes, all of that. But we will also have the love of God perfected in us, which cannot be impersonated. Any woman that wants to do so can go to the store, buy a long dress, and impersonate a daughter of God in a long dress. If a woman wanted to let her hair grow out long, she could impersonate a daughter of God with long hair and letting her hair grow out long. If a man wanted to look like a son of God, he could have his hair cut, he could quit smoking, doing many different things, and he would try to act like a son of God. But that don't mean he's a son of God. And it does not mean that the love of God is perfected in that man or that woman's heart. Now, when we come to the perfection of the love of God, it's one and the same as the third pull. It's one and the same as the full manifestation of the Word. It's one and the same and ties right into the seventh seal, because in that there is no impersonation. Impersonation can be from the outside. It could even be from I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. But yet it cannot be absolutely, totally impossible for anybody to have perfect love without having God in their soul. Because Satan cannot love. Satan is not love. Satan is an actor. So it's no problem for him to act holiness. It's no problem for him to act like he believes the message. He's had great success for years and years in anointing his sons and daughters, many of them, to act like they believe the message. And many of them were finding out didn't believe it in the first place, because they were under the auspices of their daddy, the devil. And they were acting out, being an actor. But let me tell you something, friend. A true child of God is not acting out perfect love. You cannot act it out. It's something that is an habitual constancy inside of your soul. It's not even your flesh. It's not even your spirit. It's in your soul, and it's something you cannot impersonate. Now notice, but there is keys which lead up to the constancy of love being perfected. Now it will grow, and it will be in degrees in the heart and the life of an individual. But God loving us is not in degrees. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So it is not that God loved us this much when we were lost, and then when we got saved, God loved us that much. And then when we got sanctified, God loved us that much. And when we got the Holy Ghost, God loved us that much. And when we come to the message, God loved us that much. And the more we grow and the more we understand, God just keeps loving us more and more. No, no, no. God does not love his elect in degrees. God's love does not come to us in degrees, but we do love in degrees. We love him in degrees. Now this might be a little bit hard on you, but we do love him in degrees, and we love one another in degrees. We love our enemies in degrees. We love even our friends in degrees, until we grow up and get perfect love. And then when we do, we get done with thermometer love.
We no longer concerned about degrees and this degree and that degree. We throw it out the window and get rid of it and say, I want to love the way God loves. But you see, when we love in degrees and our best friend, our closest friend, you know, they'll do something to disappoint us or hurt our feelings, and all of a sudden we don't love them as well. Or our wife, or our husband, or our children, and they will do something, or a brother or sister in church, or the pastor, and all of a sudden we don't love them with the same degree that we did before they did us that wrong. You know why? We're not loving with perfect love. We're still loving with thermometer love. And oh, when they do everything the way we want it, nobody crosses us. Nobody hurts our feelings. Nobody says anything to upset us. Why, we about blow the mercury out the top end of that thermometer. But boy, just as sure as they started rubbing us the wrong way, we're 70. And then they hurt our feelings and we're 55. And then it hurt us deeper and then we're freezing. And then it drops down to zero. Then we're below zero. Well, glory, y'all gonna be quiet on me again tonight, are you? Now watch, but whoso keepeth his word. Now remember, we cannot do this just by God giving us grace. Perfect love is not matured just as us being a recipient of the mercy and the grace of God. But it will correlate with our growth, our understanding, and our walk with God. It is not a gift from God. It is not God gives you salvation, but God does not give you perfect love as a gift. But it is measured according to your growth and your maturity in Him. Because you see, as we are growing, we're giving up more of ourselves. We're giving up things that are contrary to the Word. And by doing that, we're allowing His love to grow more and more and more in our lives. Now watch, this is what knocks a lot of folks out of that. In verse 5 he said, but whoso keepeth his word. Now folks can be able to receive this and they don't have to do nothing. They're all for it. Now this has nothing to do now with your salvation. But we're talking about the love of God being perfected in our lives. So in order to get perfect love, which casts out fear, there is an obedience which must come to a heart that has been touched by the Spirit of God. Now we know in the beginning, we were not even lovable. Our nature was totally contrary to God. And God had to actually give us love. Do you realize that they broke into a science and an understanding about love. How that love affects the human physiology and how that love even affects the brain. They've even broke into a new science of it to where that they're opening up a realm that they never understood before. And it's time how that a mother and a child has a certain anatomical love in between them that it is not even existent between the father and the child. And it's something that's hid inside of that child that they will go look for if it is the right kind of love, even when they get older in a mate. And it is something that was imprinted on that child whenever it was held in the arms of its mother. And that love was emanated from that mother to that child. And you realize that if a human can be so imprinted in your brain, you're not even old enough to even know none of that, of course, but your brain is mapping out, it's learning, it's going through, it's feeling the process of love. And if it would be so imprinted upon a child, how much more then, once we have been touched by the love of God, would not it affect our souls in such a way and so imprint upon us something that we'd never get over the rest of our life or even through eternity? If a mother's love can do that, what about the love of God? But notice now John says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So can a disobedient Christian ever expect to have perfect love? Absolutely not. So if God has said something to you in your life, you need to quit this and quit this and quit this. He said that 6 months ago and you have never put that under your feet. You've never grown over the top of it and yet you wonder why you're not going on with God. I'll tell you tonight, you won't. You won't go any farther until you take care of that issue, you make that thing right with whoever it is, because perfect love will come by obedience to the Word. God is not going to give us and open up the great dynamic power of the Word of God until we learn the power of obedience and surrender. Now remember that the Word of God is given to us, not for do's and don'ts and thou shalt not. He gives us this so that it will be able to discipline our lives and bring us into fellowship. Do you believe He wants fellowship with you? And He does not want it to be as a master and a servant. He wants it to be husband and wife. But He wants us to have a reverential fear and a godly respect for Him. That's why whenever we say the perfect love casteth out fear, it does not cast out godly fear. It does not cast out a fear that a children should have for their parents, that people should have for officers and that sort of thing. But it casts out a fear that has torment on our lives. So your John ties then the road or the access by which we will walk into perfect love is perfect obedience to the Word. Now remember, the prophet tells us then that perfect obedience entitles you to the token. What is the token? The literal life of Jesus Himself. So if we ever expect to have perfect faith, perfect love, which will cast out fear, there must be an absolute surrender of our lives to God. An obedience to the Word. So if a person has not been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, can they expect to have a perfect faith and a perfect love? They might expect it, but they won't get it. A woman is cutting her hair, dressing like a man dressing like a woman, folks listen to all kinds of music contrary to the Word of God. Can they ever expect to have this? No, it will never happen because God demands obedience to His Word. Amen. You believe this? Whoso keepeth His Word, in him. Now, not whoever is saved. Not whoever accepts Christ as Savior. This is two different things now. Remember, you accepting Him as Savior has nothing to do with your works at all. It is a free gift of God. It has nothing to do with what you do. It's unmerited favor. But after you receive unmerited favor, then we're moving now on to intimate fellowship with Him, which now requires obedience. It may require some works on your part. It will. It will require things that you'll have to do that you don't necessarily want to do. You may have to stop doing a bunch of things and start doing a bunch of other things. You may have to lay this aside and pick this up and quit this and stop this. That's all part of obedience to the Word. Now this is where people will tie salvation and they want to look at their whole Christian walk with God on the same channel of the way they received salvation with nothing they had to do. So they want perfect love with nothing they have to do. They want perfect faith with nothing they have to do. They want all of these other things now on the same basis with them doing that thing. They just sat around, you know, if they want to go to church, okay. If they don't, okay. You know, if they want to dress out the world, okay. If they don't, okay. If they want to pay their tithes, okay. If they don't, okay. It don't really matter. And well, this is the way God gave it to me. That's right. That's the way He gives us salvation, but that's not the way He gives us perfect faith or perfect love or perfect obedience to His Word. That comes on us with a part inside of us that God demands our obedience. Well, glory. If me and Carol want to stay on good terms, she's going to take a bath every now and then. I love her, but I don't want to smell like a polecat. She loves me, but she don't want me to smell like no polecat, because if I move, I'm going to sweat. That's right. If I move much more than my finger, I'm going to sweat. And I know about yours, but my sweat don't smell like cologne. You know what? In order for us to have the right kind of relationship in our home, she's going to have a clean house, because I wasn't raised in a hog pen and I ain't going to live in one now. Well, glory, you folks is already quiet on me. So me loving her. Now, was it her cleaning the house that made me fall in love with her whenever we were but kids? Absolutely not. I knew nothing about the way she cleaned the house. Was it because I knew how many times she took a bath or a shower? I knew none of that. It had nothing to do with it. My love for her was because of who she was, of what I saw, the spirit that I felt projected from her. But now we're talking about intimate fellowship. Now we're talking about communion being open between me and her. And what does that require? It requires some do's and some don'ts. Come on, children. It's the same with us receiving the Lord Jesus. When I received Him as a little boy, He demanded nothing of me. There was nothing I could bring to Him to buy my salvation. There was nothing you could bring to me, boy, since I've got saved. He's demanded so much of me. He's asked so many things that I didn't want to do. Told me to go places I didn't want to go. Preach things I didn't want to preach. Why? That's fellowship. And He is the boss. Now, if I ever get to be the boss, I guess I can tell God what to do. But until I do, I figure I better just be the obedient one. Now watch. John said, whoso keepeth his word, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now remember, not the love that God has for him, but the love this man has for God and the love this man has for others. It will be based upon this man's obedience. Why? Because his obedience, he's learning to surrender. He's learning to give over his pride. He's learning to give over selfishness and all that's in him that's hindering the perfect love of God. And the more he obeys the word, the more mature love grows in his heart. Oh, praise the Lord. I wish I could preach an amen too. I wouldn't even ask y'all to do it. I'd just do it myself. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily the love of God. Notice, verily is the love of God perfected. Now, God's mercy and his grace to deal with our hearts, knowing then that when we come to him, he allows these degrees of growth. Notice how he says it. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now, wait a minute, John, what about the long hair? And what about the dresses for the women? And what about the men cutting their hair? And what about this doctrine and that doctrine? And I talked to him, but John, it's that important. You know it was important to John. But when it come right down to it, this was the third pull. They had already seen signs and miracles by false prophets by this time. They had already seen miracle workers. They had already seen folks come in their church and tear their churches to pieces because they held quotes under their arms. Right? But John had found out by experience, by revelation, by teaching, this could not be impersonated. Praise the Lord. Now watch, then a person who obeys, or as John said, keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So the love to the Savior would be defective in a man or woman's life if it did not require obedience. Can't you see that the age that we're living, that the preachers and the people are preaching and projecting a defective love? That you can do anything you want to do, live any way you want to live, and God has no more requirements. He's always had requirements. God has always had standards, and God ain't changed them. But can't you see what it does when people become so loose and they become of such a worldly mind? They want to change everything that God has said and make it what? Oh, you just receive it. It's all free. It's all mercy. My, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby. Our progression toward the ideal perfected love. Watch this. I wrote down a couple of scriptures. In 1 John 2:3, it was that we know him. In 1 John 2:5, we are in him. In 1 John 2:6, we abide in him. So respectively, it is knowledge, fellowship, and abiding constancy. So we know him. We are in him and we abide in him. What is this? Degrees by which a child of God is growing unto the perfect love. So where God's love is so mature in that child's life, can a person get it tonight to come to the altar? Totally impossible. Aren't you glad God divided it? Can you come straight off of a bar stool, come to the altar and get salvation? Yes. But not perfect love. That's years of growth. That's years of moving from one stage to another. You understand? Can a person come straight and lay down their pack of cigarettes? There's a process. Can they get saved? Yes. Can they get all my everything they need right there at the altar that night? No, sir. It's a process of growth. Oh, my, this ought to make a shout tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this. 1 John 4:12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Now, no one has ever seen the essence or the completion of God. We know, of course, in Exodus 24, the Bible says they saw God and there was under his feet as it were a pavement of sapphire and of gold. We know that Thomas said, Lord, where are you going to go? How are you going to go? We ain't seen the Father's heaven. You've seen me. You have seen the Father. And we know that there was displays of God, but no one had ever seen the full essence of God. Why? Why? God held this back. He will not allow it to be revealed until the city and the bride become one. But yet John shows us a window, a little peek by which the essence of God can be seen in these connecting words. You mean God would allow this to be seen this way? Why? One of the greatest phenomena that ever existed. One of the greatest miracles that could ever happen. For a fallen, unregenerate person to be so converted, they could love with perfect love in constancy. Totally impossible without God intervening. It's a bigger miracle than the sun shining today and the moon coming out tonight and the stars. They have no will to rebel against God. Do you think the devil's up there fighting the sun every day? You think the devil's up there fighting the moon? Say, moon, you ain't coming out. You ain't coming out. You think the devil's up there fighting Orion and all the stars? He ain't worried about them. The demons of hell ain't after the sun or after the moon. He's after sons and daughters. And yet in all of that, God has made a way that the essence of God's character can be projected by the way we love one another. You don't say it, but you will. Watch this. Oh God, help us open our eyes, Lord, please. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another. If it is so by divine nature, it is just as natural to you as starting your car, brushing your teeth. It is so habitual from your soul. It is a realm, a dimension of constancy that the flesh cannot produce. When that happens in the body, God's great manifestation is living among people. Oh, Brother Donnie, what about wheelchairs and what about this? Hey, I believe in that too. But you know what? Many people were healed in Brother Branham's meetings that got sick and died. All kinds of folks had miracles happen to them. Is that the truth? If God heals us tonight of whatever's going on with us because these bodies are sin, the devil may try to make you sick before church in the morning again. But do you see, once this moves into our soul, it can never be taken away. You may take you years to progress, but it can never regress. If you ever get it, my brother, sister, the devil can never take it away from you. It is the very phanerio, which is the manifestation of God's presence. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. No man has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. So I wonder if John could visit Happy Valley or visit a bunch of these message churches and hear what they preach as the evidence. Hear what we preach. Hear the way we talk, the way we behave, what we do. If John would go on Facebook and read a bunch of the stuff that folks put on there, wonder if John would identify them as being a Christian according to the Bible. Filled with the Holy Ghost now, walking in perfect love. Oh, but not alive. I believe. And we figure that takes care of everything. Them two little words, I believe. And the devil can stand right by and say, I believe too. Now the devil's a tricky fella. He's really one us in the Godhead, but he tells all kinds of folks there's three. Now the devil's not a Trinitarian himself, but he found out that doctrine worked really good. But he only believes in one God. He tells a lot of folks, Brother Branham was a false prophet, but he himself knows a lot better since he met him one-on-one many a time. So we could ask the devils out of hell, hey devil, be honest tonight. Was William Branham a false prophet? If he was, why did he scare you to death? Why did he scare you to death every time you got in his presence? Because if it's a false prophet, look like you'd have loved him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the presence of God, the essence of God's nature, which has never been seen visibly, can be reflected in human beings. So when you see the Word manifested, you see Father God. Lord Jesus. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Now remember, this is not human love, filial. This is agape love. God's love in maturity, the adult form. God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us, completed. And how do we know? How can we see it? Because it's not just at your church. Oh, I feel so good. I love everybody. That's not the time to tell. It's when you pull in the morning and somebody's got your parking spot. Or you come in the church and somebody's got your spot and your favorite spot in the end of the pew or the middle or wherever you are. Then see where your thermometer of love is then. Or you find out Brother Donnie had to go to Timbuktu or wherever and he won't be preaching in the morning. You drove all that distance, 30 minutes, took you an hour and 45 minutes to get ready for church, comb in 5 hours of yours and shave and eat your breakfast and all that. You come to church and Brother Donnie ain't here. Somebody else is going to be preaching. How much love you got then? Woo! Come on now, Happy Valley. Don't you get quiet. But yet John said there is a secret to the mystery of the new birth. There is a secret to the elusive mystery of knowing that we pass from death unto life. And this is a one simple measure. Do you love constantly? Habitually? Is it something that is so unlearned, untrained, that it comes as a first nature? I don't know if I should go on or stop making an altar call. No, let's go on. Now let's look again at charity in 1 Corinthians. Let's recap what we looked at last week. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity suffereth long. Now this is the same thing now that John is saying. The essence, the phanereo of God. God's manifestation, not by flesh, in that He's coming down His own body, but God's presence living this life through human beings. Lord Jesus. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. So remember that the next time you pout. Charity don't pout. Charity don't come with a built-in powder. Praise the Lord. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Now wait a minute. Where's walking on water? Where's laying hands on the sick? Where's casting out devils? Where's speaking in tongues here? Where's shouting? Where's jumping? You mean to tell me Paul left this out of charity? Where's I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe? Where's deep, 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 deep? You know why we've got this way, friends? Because Satan knows all of those things I mentioned can be impersonated to a T. We've already seen preachers that could preach circles around a lot of men of God. Sure they could. preachers that could stand in the pulpit and take the word and take the message and just hold you spellbound. Wasn't even born again. Wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't even have a start early of a new birth. Why? Because it could be impersonated. All of that can, or laying hands on folks and getting well, sure that can happen. It don't mean it's nothing about that man. Their faith can do that. I believe that can all be impersonated. But this cannot be impersonated. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Endureth all things. We close out on verse 7 last Sunday. Let's pick up on this one again. Beareth all things. It endures without divulging to the world its distress. Literally holding fast like a watertight vessel. The charitable man contains himself from giving vent to what selfishness would prompt under personal hardship. I wonder how much Jesus could have shared with us with what all he went through. Who was it told us that Jesus feared? Jesus or Paul? Who was it told us many of the things that the Lord Jesus went through? Was it him or other men? Other men. Was it Jesus that told us the depth of the sacrifice that he made in his life? Was it him or other men? Other men. Was it him that told us that he groaned with a headache? Was it him that told us all that he laid aside for us? Praise the Lord. You know, there's a close line, friends, of telling folks things about where we are so they'll pray and wanting their sympathy. And wanting them to feel sorry for us and baby us and pet us. Come on now. There is a close line, and every one of you, if you're very sensitive at all, you know yourself that you have told people too much at times. You've walked away from talking to people and just felt in your heart you went too far. You know what I'm talking about? You know why? Because you crossed over the boundary of charity. There's nothing wrong with us sharing our requests and telling things, but many of us are moving beyond sharing our requests, and we want sympathy, and we want people to feel sorry for us, and we want pity. That's not charity. Charity will say, brother, pray for me. I'm going through some things. Well, brother Donnie, can't I tell details? Sure you can. But be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because there's a certain place he will stop you and say, don't go no farther. Because it crosses over into a pity party. A lot of folks don't like a Holy Ghost party. They don't like shouting parties, but they sure love pity parties. Man, they love to be at everyone coming and going as long as they're the main guest. Of course, now if somebody else is throwing a pity party, they don't like it near as well, because it competes with their pity party. Amen. Erica's girls, every time I go down to the house, one of them's got a new scratch or a new bruise or something. And I was down there the other day, and one of them said, Poppy, I've got this wrong and I got that wrong. I said, all right, come on, let's have a prayer line. So one of them got something wrong, they go to looking everywhere and see if they can find something wrong. Oh my. So I said, all right, eat your supper and we'll have a prayer line. Sure enough, when they got done, I had a prayer line. Cause it ain't gonna work for me to pray for one of them. I gotta pray for all four of them. And once I get done praying for them, they forgot this and they forgot that, and I'm doing a double prayer line. Oh, you laugh at them kids, but some of you adults is just as bad. Many of you come up here in this altar for prayer for things that you need to take care of yourself. You want me to pray you closer to God. You want these preachers to pray for you for this and that and the other. And some of the things you asked us to pray for, I know as soon as you ask, it will not be granted by prayer. It will be granted by strength. It will be granted by obedience. It will be granted by commitment to God, not by me praying for you. Well, ouch, ouch, eat me. So charity beareth all things. And charity believeth all things. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Glory. You've heard of the Ever Ready battery, ain't you? This is an Ever Ready Christian. Ever ready to believe the best of every person. I'm going to credit no evil of any, but on the most positive evidence. Now realize, friends, some of you think this has no value. You don't think this means nothing. Because it ain't deep. Honestly, don't see how you can get any deeper. Since thus saith the Lord, perfect love is what it'll take to get you to that realm. Anybody ever find where Brother Bam said, thus saith the Lord, deep preaching is what'll take you to get there? Theological seminaries and, you know, this conference and that conference. I mean, if I miss it somewhere, sorry, please send me the quote. Praise the Lord. Charity inclines a man to believe the best of his neighbor till the contrary is proven. So charity believeth all things, beareth all things, rather believeth all things, hopeth all things. When there is no place left for believing good of a person, love comes in with its hope where it could not work by its faith. Faith is positive. Faith knows it's there. Hope hopes it is. Now, do you know, do you absolutely know everybody in this church is going to the rapture? No, you don't. Do you know all your children's going? You do not. You hope. Oh, but I claim. But whether or not you want to admit it, you're claiming by hope. Unless God has personally revealed to you that son or daughter, whatever it is going to be there, then that's a revelation of faith. Other than that, you hope. Do I believe every person that I'm going to pray for the rest of my life will get well? I hope they do. I said, I hope they do. I hope I never have to preach another funeral. But I've got a file saved up just in case I need some more. Praise the Lord. Now faith, whenever faith will run out to a person, a man, woman, boy, or girl, to where they have done so much wrong. They have done so much wrong to God, so much wrong to the church, so much wrong to you that faith cannot look and say, I know it'll happen. Charity will reach down to its little weaker sister. Hope is faith's weaker sister. Still in the family, that's right. And charity will reach down there and grab a hold to hope and say, well, let's hope and pray that they can turn around. Oh, but I'm afraid they've crossed the line, but let's hope they ain't. Oh, but they said so and so and so and so. I know all that. I know that, but let's hope there's still mercy for them. Now, can faith have blessed God? I know. No, many times it cannot do it. So God, look at the mercy of God. The mercy of God is so bountiful that it move over into this weaker realm of hope. I don't know about you, I'm glad for that. Because there's been times I've been on that hope side. Come on, you might as well be honest, you have too. Maybe folks looked at you, God didn't, because God's 11 degrees. Folks looked at you, boy, I tell you one thing, I don't know if there's any hope for Terry or not. He's a pretty sorry outfit. I just don't know if there's any hope for Jerry or not. Donnie's so stinking sorry, I don't know if there's any hope or not, but charity says, hope, hope, believe, it hopes, amen. And it still reaches out. You know why? That hope ain't just for them. It's for us. How would we tend to treat people that we think are eternally separated from the presence of God? If I shook your hand or your hand or your hand or yours or yours or anybody out here on the street, and God would tell me every one of them, this one's lost, this one's lost, this one can never be saved, never be saved, what would be the tendency of the human nature? To pray for them? Why should I? If they would want to call me and want counsel, am I going to give them my time? Why should I? Hopeless case. Then if I'm not careful, that'll move over from one who I know is not savable over to one I think may not be savable. And then maybe some I hope ain't savable. So let's just face the facts. We don't know anybody else's destiny. And I'm kind of glad about it. Well, glory. By faith, I believe I'm going to be there, and I might as well just go and believe y'all going to be there with me. And even if you look so sorry, you've been in and out and up and down, my, you've come and gone more than the north wind. If I can't have faith, I still want to reach out and say, God, I hope you can get a hold of so-and-so. Whew. I love these F's. E-T-H, apostrophe S, F's of verse 7. Beareth, believeth, hopeth, endureth. I love these F's of verse 7. And I'm going to be every one of them. I said, I'm going to be every one of them. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Persecutions in a patient and loving spirit. That is, it puts up with wrongs and injuries without desiring, much less endeavoring, to revenge them. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And though you're looking at me right now, I can tell by the look he's working on you too. You're saying, poor old Brother Donnie. Don't you poor old Brother Donnie me. You're as guilty as a hound dog in a hen house. Every one of us need to grow. If this sermon was only for me, God would have me to preach it to myself at the house. I preach to myself all the time anyway. But apparently if he laid it on my heart, it must be more than just for me. Oh my. Notice this. Lord, help us. Now Paul comes down to verse 8. New beginning. Eternity. Circle. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Oh my goodness, now remember, this is the Corinthian church. One of the biggest Pentecostal churches in the message at that time. Oh yes. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Oh, my. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Now, notice this man of God, this prophet, as he's going right down the middle of some of their pet peeves. I mean, this is the way they determine spirituality. Oh, glory. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now let's look at these. Charity never fails. Watch now, third pull. So healing, a person get a genuine healing and lose it tomorrow. Why? It can fail depending on the constancy of their faith. Praise the Lord. Your salvation, listen now, your salvation, just receiving Christ as your Savior, can fail depending on the constancy of your faith. But if you ever get the seal of God, it can't fail because it ain't based on the constancy of your faith. A person can be saved today, backslidden a month from now, and die lost and go to hell. Saved, but not sealed. You understand? Right. Now, charity then ties into the third pull, into the deeper meaning of the opening of the word, and also ties into the capstone sealing the individual back into eternity, into the mystical body of Christ. Once in there, they can never get out. Once in there, they don't never want out. Amen. But they can prophesy and they can fail. They can speak in tongues and all might. Maybe right and it may not be right. And it will stop. They can have our knowledge. It'll vanish away. But charity never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. That is the gift of prophecy or the power of speaking as a prophet. Delivering the truth of God in an intelligible manner under the influence of inspiration. The gift of being a public speaker, instructing and edifying the church and foretelling future events. Caiaphas prophesied of the Lord Jesus. Balaam. The Bible calls Balaam a prophet, and the Bible calls Balaam a soothsayer. The things that Balaam prophesied are still coming to pass. It was not the prophecy of Balaam that was wrong, it was his teaching that was wrong. Notice now, charity never fails, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Look at this word. Do away, cease, to render idle, unemployed. Inactivate, inoperative, to cause a person or thing to have no further efficiency. So is there any thus saith the Lord's in the Bible or any thus saith the Lord's of Brother Branham that will not come to pass? Of course not, unless they were based upon conditions. Now remember, prophecies can come as a direct revelation from God having nothing to do with our obedience. Other prophecies will come and they will have conditions attached to them. Many of them in the Old Testament, if you'll take the time to study them out, God told the children of Israel, you'll possess the land from such and such to so and so to so and so and so and so. If you obey me, they never possess that land. Never. They have never to this day inherited the full possession of God. Yet it was a prophecy of Moses. But it was a prophecy based upon conditions. And when the conditions are not met, God is not obligated to bring that prophecy to pass. Well, thank you, Jesus. Now notice, whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. They'll be done away with, or they will run to their end. But yet, whenever charity comes out, it can never fail. So what? He's showing the opposites of charity and tongues. Charity and prophecy. Charity and knowledge. Charity and all these other things that they was putting so much emphasis on. All of these, he said, will fade away. Look, friends. There'll be nobody in heaven speaking in tongues. There'll be nobody in heaven prophesying. There'll be nobody in the eighth day preaching. Why? Preaching is not eternal. Prophesying is not eternal. Speaking in tongues is not eternal. But charity is. It never started. It never ends. It never fails. It never falters. It never comes. Can't you see? Can't you see? It's the third pull. It's the opening of the word. It's the opening of the essence of God's character. It doesn't involve great deep theological something or another, but it is a section, a place in God that only the ecclesia can ever get into. Oh, Lord Jesus. Look at this in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Well, why don't we believe that? I mean, the message folks would say faith is the greatest, which they would substitute for the word revelation. A lot of their revelations are revolutions. What kind of revelation will lead us contrary from this original plan? Remember, our lives is built upon the doctrine of the apostles. The city you're going to is built upon the apostles. So why would God want to lead us away from what they taught and then put us back in a city where they're going to be the foundation? Makes no sense. Now let's go back to 1 John 4:18 for just a bit. There is no fear in love, But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment. How many can relate to that? Now, there's a difference now in you being afraid of something, scared of something. Somebody jumps out of the dark, somebody, you know, scares you, something like that, and it happens, and then in 5 minutes you're laughing about it and never bothers you again. But the type of fear that we're looking at is the fear that is slavish fear, which is repetitive over and over again. It can be about a sickness. It can be about a shortcoming in your life. It can be about a besetting sin that was in your past. It can be because you look at your daddy and you see that you're so much like your daddy, and it scares the liver out of you because you say, oh God, don't let me be like him. Oh God, please. And it can be a fear. It can be a fear. You women, you can be look at your mother. You can look at Aunt Lucy and Aunt Susie Bell over here on the other side. Oh, dear God, I'm so much like Aunt Susie Bell. Oh, God, don't let me be like Aunt Susie Bell. Oh, no, Lord, please. A fear of this and a fear of that. That type of fear has torment. And a person who lives under that fear is not yet learned how to grow into perfect, mature love, that it will cast out that type of fear. Because perfect love and torment has no place in the same heart. How could you live in heaven and hell at the same time? Perfect love is heaven. Fear, torment is hell. Now, psychologists, people who study fear, who study phobias, who study anger, who study the brain and all that sort of thing, how it affects you, they describe it in this manner. You're walking down through a garden path. You're walking out in your backyard, birds are singing, the sun's out, everything's so pretty. You're walking down whistling, singing something so pleasant, all of a sudden there's a snake right here. Your fists clench, your forehead breaks out in perspiration, your heart raging, all these things happen to you in a moment of time. You're terrified, unless you're a snake handler. Then you're going to be glorified, I guess. But most of us, so it's not like that. Most of us, I mean, we're going to run for the rat shot, a hoe, a shovel, a rock. Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie, don't tell me you do. Decapitate everyone I can. Now, what happens is your body goes in response to that initial surge of fear, that adrenaline and so on that goes through your body. But you know, whatever happened to the snake and went off through the bushes, or you eliminated it and let it rest in pieces. Now, next week, you decide to walk down the same path. Now, as you're getting closer to the same spot, your body will go to recalling. It was now stored in your memory because the emotions so surged and your body released so many chemicals from this happened that it imprinted something on your brain. And you go to getting close to where it was. And your body will start feeling very similar, except you arrive there, no snake. Now you're under anxiety, which leads to panic attacks. Now this is why that a person will look, and it's not there, it's not there, it's okay. But the brain has stored this deep within them. So now they don't need the snake by the pass. Because they saw the daffodils, they saw this, that, the other, leading up to the insurmountable fear that they obtained. Don't you understand why? Even when we were children and things happened to us that scared us, whatever it was, and similar things can happen 40 years later, and we go to getting all tore up. Why? Because we go to reliving and the brain stored that deep in your memory. It was so embedded with so many emotions, it's like you're reliving it. But there's no snake in the path. And yet other people are looking at you and say, get next to yourself. Quit that. Get a hold of yourself. But it was stored in you. Now, between fear and anxiety, they say, is a very fine line to where it crosses over from one time scaring you until it becomes an anxiety, and it can happen over and over and over again, and the snake is not there. They could search under every leaf. They could search under everywhere, and your husband could say, honey, I went to Lowe's, and I bought some snake away, and I put the snake away all out through the garden. There won't be no snakes back no more, and then that thing will drive them all away. But to you child, oh, I'm trying. Oh, it'll be okay. It's all right. The snake won't be there. But because these thoughts here are not embedded with such passion and embedded with such chemicals, those that are embedded will overpower your positive talking. But that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. My God conquers anxieties. My God conquers panic attacks. Woo! Lord! Hallelujah! And as a person learns to surrender and grow, it casts out. There is no room for torment in heaven in the same soul. But a person can have a weaker degree of love and have a fear which has torment living in the same human being. They will share the same body, use the same brain, use the same mouth. But as adult love grows and becomes more mature, it ain't intimidated by fear. So it says, pack your stuff and get out. I'm going to the judge. I am the judge. And the Holy Ghost is here to enforce you to leave this property. You're a squatter on my brain. You're a squatter on my emotions. You're a squatter on all that I am. Get out of here, devil, and leave me alone. And if you'll believe it, it can go exactly that way and that quick. Now, will it take some time for God to do that? Who knows? God can do what He wants to do. If He wants to go in and eradicate that memory, He can do it. It don't mean that it won't come back and try to haunt you, but you stand right there on your ground. And if that devil comes knocking back and said, I told you to leave. And if you don't leave, I'm going to call the Holy Ghost cops on you. And they're going to throw you in jail, so I would advise you to leave me alone, devil. So fear can go, anxiety can go, panic attacks can go. Why? Because perfect love casts them out. Amen. And it don't care where they land, it just makes them leave. Listen. Let's look at this and we'll close. We'll pick up in the morning. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. It is a painful and distressing emotion. The Greek word is actually punishment. Fear is always revolving in the mind the punishment deserved. You're worthy of it. You deserve it. You've been so sorry. You deserve this. When are we ever going to get through our mind? We deserve heaven. We deserve all of His benefits. Now, when I was lost, I deserved the other. But I ain't lost no more. And as a matter of fact, I ain't been for a long time. I know where I'm at and I know where I'm going. But that means I'm not lost. Praise the Lord. I don't deserve hell. I don't deserve punishment, Brother Kenneth. I don't deserve this, that, or the other. I deserve the blessing of God. You say you're that good? I ain't that good. It's because of where I am. I'm in Christ. That's why I deserve it. So He loads me daily with benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. I deserve that because I'm in Christ Jesus. Not because of my works. Not because I'm a good person. I was not a good person. But I have been made good by the power of the blood. I deserve healing. I deserve goodness. I deserve goodness. Oh, praise be to God. I deserve the blessings of God. You think Jesus deserves punishment? Does Jesus deserve to be treated bad? Well, if he don't, you don't. Praise the Lord. If he don't, you don't. Since God no longer sees you all as a separate entity, he sees you as one. Hallelujah. I was speaking with Brother Daniel Gissendener yesterday. He was telling me something he'd preached Wednesday night. And boy, he had some really good thoughts on it about accusers. He's talking about the woman brought to Jesus. Jesus said, "Those that's without sin cast the first stone." Every one of them, you know the story. They dropped their stone and walked away. The only one which could stone her, which was without sin, forgive her. Glory. Jesus was the only one that could have picked up that stone. Then he said he brought it in this way about us and our past and our wrong. He said, then according to what Jesus said, your flesh, unless it's without sin, has no right to kill you. So the next time your big mouth and your down on yourself attitude and your all your past and all that goes to throwing its stone at you, tell it it's not without sin. So it ain't got no right to bash my Holy Ghost experience. It ain't got no right to bash my new birth because it ain't without sin. Come on, children. Amen. Oh, may God help us to realize what the Lord Jesus has purchased for us. What will it be? We long to see apostolic times moving among us, but I wonder what we've made out of that. In comparison to what he really meant and what apostolic times was. We think it's more healing, more miracles. I believe in all that too. But think everyone can be impersonated. But wasn't it Nero and the generals and the centurions? It wasn't the miracles and the signs so much of the apostles that got their attention. But it was how they loved one another. Because they had soothsayers, they had magicians, they had witchcraft. They could do many things in that day and impersonate the signs of the apostles. Remember Bar-Jesus and others that did many signs, Elymas the sorcerer? It was not that that the emperors took note of. It was their love for one another. And how they could die in the Colosseum and seem to have no fear of death. Why? Perfect love. Now think of it. Let's reverse the role right now. What if after service we go outside and the police is waiting? New order mandate from the White House. We're now going to be arrested. Because our church preaches against gay rights. And they have me on the internet and on video for saying it. And they confiscated it, we'll say. And they had you saying amen. Oh, Lord, some of y'all ain't going to say amen from now on, are you? And they're going to take us out and feed us to the lions or put us in prison or whatever more. Cut our head off. Don't even give us a fair trial, if there is such a thing anymore. Could we do it? Could we stand and say, I'll give my life for it? I believe it with all my heart. It ain't good enough just to live by. It's good enough to die by. Are we preaching that kind of gospel, Brother Terry? Are you folks believing that kind of gospel? Lord, you'd be willing to give your life for what you believe. Brother Donnie, could we face it? If we have this, we can. Perfect love would cast out fear. So then in my heart, as much as I love my wife, and they would take and turn wild dogs in on her, or they would take some of you, my people, my sheep, and they would mutilate your body as I would hear you screaming. Hot irons and pokers touch your flesh. Let wild dogs tear your stomach open and eat your entrails while you're still alive. That's the way they would do the preachers, to try to get them preachers to deny it, because they knew them preachers loved them sheep so much. But perfect love would have helped a preacher to stand there and say, God, it's the truth. Lord, it's killing me to see Brother Joel being killed and Brother Rob and this sister and that one. Oh, God, these young people, but Lord, it's the truth. And perfect love would have helped eliminate my fear, knowing that if they'd done that to you, what are they going to do to me? Praise the Lord. Which do you want? You want to live in a life where we're scared to death, we're scared of everything, everything coming and going? Or you want to live a life of peace? And let the third pull, the opening of the word, perfect love. Remember in the woman's dream, it was the honey in the box upon the top of the mountain. Brother Branham said it was a hard thing to tell that preacher's wife she didn't have the Holy Ghost, but she didn't. But the honey in the box, the honey in the top, so it kept coming down. What is the capstone? Perfect love. I must and will have it. I must and will have it. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't mind telling you, it felt so good yesterday whenever we found out Eliana was going to be taken to Vanderbilt by ambulance. Ambulance going 90 miles an hour. Siren screaming, light going all the way from here to Nashville. And in your mind, you're wondering, you know, what's, Lord, what's happening, what's happened? But I was thinking about today, I thought, Lord, thank you for this word. It's so in season. Ain't it, Brother Junior? I don't know how many people have told me the word right now we're hearing so in season for where they are. Amen. I mean, say amen to that. I thought, Lord, I was thinking about it today, what a wonderful thing it is when you don't know this and you don't know that, and yet fear don't grip you and just tear you all to pieces. Does it concern you? Sure, it concerns you. But don't motivate you. And, you know, God, help me through the day to be able to study and come right on praying all through the day that God would help them. But yet help me to lay that over here to one side. Lord, help me that it won't hinder me from feeding the sheep tonight. Help me, Lord, that it won't stop me from bringing what you put on my heart. And I thought, what a perfect setting. What a perfect setting. Things that in one way would make you fearful, yet he steps up to the bow of the ship and says, peace be still. Oh, glory to God. Peace be still. Hallelujah. Let's pray for one another, can we? Would you lay your hand on that person there by you? Heavenly Father, as I bring these people to you tonight, Lord, and their needs. Lord God, I think of Brother Bo's meeting down there in Jackson, Lord, his mama laying there. Looks like just a little while to live. I think of Brother Bill laying over in the hospital, Lord, still can't swallow. Eliana down there in the hospital, Lord. We talked to her just before pulling in the parking lot here, and still weak. Not feeling good, Lord. I think of your children, Lord, all over the world. There's many of them. All kinds of needs. Some stream in this service, some here in this building. They got fears, anxieties, panic attacks. They're trying their best to get over them. But it's like they just can't get a hold of it. Lord God, you never promised us a spirit of fear, but of love and power. And a sound mind. Lord, as these eagles have their wings as it was, one to the other. Maybe some of them's in that moting state where they're just so down and so weary. They're just moping around, Lord, and they're up on the rock. And they're taking their head and beating against that old rock because the crust is fixing to come off. But Lord, they can't eat when they're in that stage. So other eagles fly by, dropping big old chunks of meat where they can eat. Sometimes that comes by preaching. Sometimes it comes by a phone call or a card. Sometimes it comes by just somebody laying their hand on them and praying for strength for them. Lord God, there may be some eagles here tonight in that stage. They're out streaming the service. May the presence of God move right there in the living room, Lord. In the car, wherever more. Lord Jesus, would you minister to your children? Lord, we desire this mature kind of love. We love depth. We love signs. We love wonders. Oh, ain't nobody loves to shout no better than I do. Nobody loves to be in the presence of God and be so overwhelmed that I move into another language that I've never learned before and let the supernatural pour out of me while I'm in awe of that presence. Oh God, I love all of that, but I know that can be impersonated. Lord, I know that those things, every one of them, can be mocked and impersonated. But perfect love, there is no copy for it. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. When it comes to our obedience, help us, I pray, Lord, to obey, to love, to serve, to grow, to mature, to rapture. Grant it, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, whether here or streaming this service, those that will go back and archive it, I take authority over the spirit of fear and anxiety. Some of your children with panic attacks. Satan, I adjure you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have lied to some of these children. You have repeated things in their body. You have planted these things in their memory and they've recalled them and they relived them. An event to the hospital or a pain or an ache or something happened when they were a child. I'm not a prophet, so I can't expose you by vision. But the word has took the cover off of you tonight, Satan. And I want to tell you to your face, you are a liar. You are a deceiver. But not only that, you are defeated. Our Lord Jesus conquered you 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah! And we are recipients of His victory. And Satan, in the name of Jesus, you try to bind this beloved wife of God. I call your bluff tonight. I would not do this on my own. I could not meet you on my own. But I am not on my own. I am a representative of the living God. Hallelujah! I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord God Almighty. We in this ranks say you are a liar. You try to bind God's people. We tell you right now, Satan, we are going to have perfect love. And you will not hold us back. Oh, glory! Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan, take your hands off of God's property. Hallelujah. In the place of fear, Lord God, may there be love. In the place of anxiety, may there be rest. In the place of nervousness, may there be calmness and peace. El Shaddai. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Friends, not to the realm of emotion and worked up by music. And we love all of that. But on a solid basis of faith, receive your deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some of you men have feared prostate cancer. Some of you have feared heart trouble. You've feared all kinds of things because of your family and this and that and the other. You've lived under the fear of backsliding. Don't live your life under such things any longer. You feared things that happened to you as a child. Some of you were molested. Some of you were physically abused, mentally abused, psychologically abused. Some of you were hurt by preachers and you've let that control you. Don't let it control you another day after tonight. Receive your deliverance. The mighty conqueror. The mighty conqueror is right here in this building tonight. He's here to help you. He's here to help you. He's here to bring peace and deliver you of that fear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, you may walk down that path tomorrow and your human response may be where that snake was, but you remember you had a place tonight where you was able to put your foot down. Amen. By God's grace, you're not going to bother me no more, Satan. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, living God. We magnify your name, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise him now, children. Don't be in no rush now. Oh, we worship you now, Lord God. We magnify your name. You're worthy, Lord, of our praise. We adore you. Thank you for deliverance, Lord. We will not be satisfied until perfect love is flowing out of our heart on a constant basis, Lord. Oh, Jesus, every day of our lives, not once a week, not three times a week, but Lord Jesus, every day of our lives. That's what we want it to be, Lord. It can be so habitual to us, Father. It's just a second nature from that new birth. Lord, something which cannot be impersonated. Something which cannot be acted out. No way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you together, Lord. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for peace, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hold your knee down your heart now before the King. Praise be to God. Come up like Esther in the presence of your bridegroom. Oh, you know he'll reach out the scepter to you. Glory to God. You're his beloved. Come with your request, your desire, Esther, into the King's court. Praise the Lord. Praise your mighty name, Jesus. Praise your mighty name, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He is our peace. He is our peace.
Thank you, Father. Oh, let's sing it together now.
He is. is our peace.
Our peace, Lord.
Who has broken down
every wall.
He is our peace.
Let's worship Him together, can we? Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Listen.
Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you.
Is it your peace?
He is our peace.
Amen, Lord.
He is our peace. Has broken down.
No more panic attacks.
We want.
No more anxiety, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He is
oh,
our
glory.
Peace.
No more slavish fear. No more fear
he
that has torment. No fear of missing the rapture. No fear of what Satan
he
can do.
Is our peace. Who has broken down
so glad He is our peace.
He is.
Hallelujah.
Our peace.
Everybody now. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you.
Amen.
He is our peace.
Anybody have a special need for prayer? Anybody have a special need for prayer? Oh, cast all you can on Jesus.
For He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. For He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall? He is my peace. He is my peace. Cast all my care on Him, for He cares for you.
I've tried to figure it out. It just fails me to know exactly why. I went and grabbed a piece of paper and tried to write it down. I tried. I just couldn't do it. With tongue or pen, the Spirit's groaning deep within. It surely has to be God stirring in my soul, cause I felt a little pull. Oh, I feel the pull. Let's do it slow. See, we still got some Baptist folk around us. We got to do it a little slow sometimes. Amen. I know the Spirit's moving, it's tugging me to give my all. He speaks to me. And
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Won't you please come?
God bless you, saints.
Feel the pull. I went to hear the word, and with each line and phrase,
you know what he was asking me to do?
He was calling me to give higher praise. Like a great magnet pulling me, I know for sure that I'll reach the goal, 'cause I feel the pull.
Take this in your pocket until in the morning.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in God's army. I'm a soldier in the